It's here. The Christian Mindset Makeover is now open. This is the popular 9-week course that equips Christian women with powerful brain science and biblically based tools to break free from negative thoughts. And I want to teach you some of the practical things we share in this course with a free workshop. I just opened up a ton of new workshop times, so go to vibrantchristianliving.com/mind to get a behind the scenes look at the Christian Mindset Makeover course and even learn some of the practicals we talk about in the course from this free workshop. Go to vibrantchristianliving.com/mind right now and sign up for the free workshop. Hi there, and welcome to today's episode of the Vibrant Christian Living Podcast. I am your host, Alicia Michelle. I am a Christian mindset coach, and I am passionate about helping you learn how to renew your mind using both biblical truth and brain science. So speaking of mental health issues, we are talking about depression today. Depression is one of those mental health topics that we don't really cover in the church. We know it exists. We know people who have been depressed. Maybe we've struggled with depression, but we don't really talk about it. It's a little kind of scary, and a lot of stuff that we talk about, we might think, well, is that really okay with God? I mean, there's a lot of controversial aspects to it. And so I wanted to have on a friend of mine, Amber Cullum, who has her own podcast called Grace Enough Podcast. And she talks about a lot of these controversial things. And so I knew she wouldn't be afraid to talk to me about this with us today on the episode. But she talks about her battle with depression. And she shares about how it has been a lifelong issue for her. And I really wanted to be able to hear that story, to be able to share that story with you. If you struggle with depression or you know someone who does and you want to help them to kind of get an inside look into what that's like. And I also wanted to share a little bit about my story because I too struggle with depression and have struggled with depression probably most of my life, but it came to a head for me when I was 19 and went through a very deep, dark time and ended up becoming suicidal. And the Lord rescued me from a lot of that, but it is still an ongoing place that I could go to if I didn't have tools and I didn't have the ability to know what was going on inside of me. And I didn't create habits to support this new way that God wants us to live. So we're going to talk about all of that today. And again, we talk about the stigma of having it, what it's like to live with depression long-term, that it's not necessarily like a one and done thing. That those phrases that we might tell ourselves and others in the church about just how to overcome it, how to get past it, you know, we'll talk about antidepressants. Is it okay for Christians to take antidepressants? And then, like I said, how can we keep ourselves strong mentally, whether we're tending to struggle with depression or not? What can we do to support our mental health in other parts of ourselves to keep us strong, to keep us going in this area? So Amber Cullum is a mom. She is a wife, and she is a host of this great podcast called the Grace Enough Podcast. So I highly encourage you to check that out. You can also reach out to her on Instagram. It's graceenoughpodcast_Amber. And if you, at the end of this episode, she'll give you the opportunity to even reach out to her on email if you want. But just to have another voice of someone who has walked this road, is walking this road, I want again to say to you that I am on this road. I will be on this road until the Lord takes me home, but that it is possible to have hope. And it is, as we will talk about today, even possible for this to be an opportunity to keep us grounded in our faith and grounded in self-care and the things that we need to do to show up, so that we can not let our own mindsets and these things that might be tempted to take over, like depression, really take hold in our life. So here's that conversation with Amber. Amber, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today to talk about this. I'm so glad that you are here with us.
I'm so glad to see you. I feel like we really are in real life friends.
I know. I know. Amber and I got a chance to meet about, gosh, how long was it? It's like 2 months now, probably, right?
I don't know. Like you said, September has been like crazy. So I think, yeah, it was at the beginning of August.
I think it was. Yeah. We went to a podcast convention together and met and just hung out and just found out we had a lot in common. I love Amber. I love her just enthusiasm and willingness to talk about things that are real. So you guys would definitely have to check out her podcast, which is Grace Enough. But concept of being real and sharing her story is why I brought her on today to the podcast, because I wanted to talk about a difficult topic. That's something that a lot of us walk through, struggle with, but you don't really have anybody to kind of hear the inside look on what it's like, and that is depression. So yeah. Amber, if you could share with us a little bit about your journey in that world of depression, where it started for you, what that was like, kind of get us started in that part of the story.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it started long before I was ever really able or willing to admit that it started. Yeah. But when my second child was born, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Mm. And so, and the newborn phase is hard. I think for some people, it's definitely harder than others. I mean, yeah, some people love babies. For me, I am like, no, we can just fast forward right into toddlerhood and that would be fine with me. But it not because that's easy. I just, right? You know, you can like communicate a little. But I remember though things being okay in the sense of, you know, the baby wasn't crying. My toddler was happily playing in the floor. And I was having a complete meltdown in the middle of the floor, like just bawling, crying for no good reason.
Wow.
And I also remember a constant feeling of, I could care less if something happened to me. Now, that is a different thought than I want to take my life. And so I want people to understand that both are problematic. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like I wanted to take pills and never wake up. It was this thought of, I don't really care if I wake up tomorrow. Wow. Yeah, that'd be fine with me, whatever. And wrestling through that and being like, no, this is just stuff going on after the baby. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. But my husband's seeing like, it's not fine. Mm. And we hit about, I can't remember if it was 6 or 9 months. And I knew at that point, things should be getting back to a little bit more of normal. And they just weren't. Mm. But it actually took my husband talking to some good friends of ours whose wife had walked through a very severe period of depression, where he said, she needs to go and see someone. Mm. And more than likely, it's going to take medication to get her back to a normal place. And so that's kind of, I would not have been open to that in the past, but we had some really vulnerable friends who had walked through some really, really dark stuff. And I thought, whoa, if that's the assessment that these two people are making, I need to pay attention. And so that's really when it all got started.
Hmm. I think that that moment that you saw and your husband saw when you realized this isn't me, this isn't mm-mm. normal. That's a very scary moment because it's like, what do I do with this? I know I'm not, it doesn't seem logical, right? If I, mm-hmm. like, if we, especially as a mom, like we know, okay, your child falls down, he hurts his knee. We put something on it to get rid of the germs, we put a Band-Aid on it, we move on. But it's like, when it's really vague like that, and you're like, I mm-hmm. don't have a reason for why I'm sad. I don't understand what's going on. That can be really scary. So what was that, just that feeling like for you as you kind of realized, oh gosh, this is what's happening?
Well, I remember things like getting totally overwhelmed and just saying, I got to get out of here for a few minutes. So I would just walk around the block or something. And I can remember the feeling of, God, what the heck? Like my life is good. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a feeling. I wasn't necessarily saying, God, like you're causing this to happen to me. It was more like what? Just this feeling of what is going on. I mean, I have healthy children. I have a husband who is involved and loving. We have a safe home. I mean, there just wasn't anything that could be contributing to it except for something was going on internally that did not add up. Right. And so those were the feelings. And then the feeling of at times, oh, but today feels good, so I'm fine. Mm, like, right. I don't need to do anything about this. And I'm certainly not going to go right. see anybody about this.
Right.
Like, come on, yeah. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
But how long do you let that go on? Because I had done counseling before just because I have some things from my past that I really needed to work through. But this wasn't like go to a counselor and just talk it out anymore. It was like, you need to go be evaluated to see if you need medication. Mm. So that's kind of some of the thought process.
Mm. And you had mentioned that you felt like now looking back on it, there was probably some other things going on. Like you said, some other mental states or mindsets that were happening.
Yes.
So what do you think some of that was?
Well, it's so hard sometimes to pinpoint because I don't have a phenomenal relationship with my mom, and I really never have. Now, that doesn't mean it's always been on the rocks. It's just always had some issues. Yeah. And so I think that a lot of times when things would get a little bit hectic in my world, I would automatically blame this on, oh, this is because all this stuff I didn't deal with from childhood, and, you know, on and on and on. But still, I had a phenomenal childhood. You know, like, we're not talking about severe neglect or abuse or anything like that. And so I still can look back, though, at seasons throughout my life before my children came along and see, oh, you had periods of time where you would think, I don't care. I mean, I don't care if good things happen. I'm not real motivated right now.
Yeah.
You know, more of that, like, oh, woe is me. And I think we all have those periods, but it's like more of a seasonal type thing. It would go on for weeks at a time. And so that's some of the stuff that I would notice from before, like, oh, you know, this was probably going on long before you had kids.
Yeah. So it's like that pattern of just,
yeah.
Not, I mean, do you feel like that was just part of who you were? Or is that just something that you maybe allowed yourself to slip into as part of a habitual thinking?
I think a little bit of a habitual thinking. I also think, though, as you get older and things begin to change hormonally in your body.
Yeah.
And when you, even if I might have been dealing with it in high school, which I don't think that I was, but at the same time, I was incredibly athletic. So I was always doing things to keep, because the physical activity also helps. Like, and yeah. I've always known physical activity helps with mindset. I mean, even if you're depressed and need medication, you still need to move your body and get out in the sunshine, because it just, that's scientifically proven to help our brains.
Yeah.
And so I wonder sometimes if I would have been in a different situation in high school, if maybe I would have dealt with it. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that it was chemical all along.
Yeah.
But just knowing that as your body changes, and that's why I think even after having kids, your composition just changes. And sometimes that sets things off that maybe were already in play before.
Yeah. It's almost like we get out of balance. Like there's this equilibrium that we can compensate for, or we can really make up for in like when we're busy or when we're in sports or things like that, where the happy endorphins and all of that can help us overcome some of it. But like you mentioned, those times, those pivotal moments of, especially related to our physical body when we've given birth, I mean, that's a huge one. It triggers postpartum depression for so many people, but it makes sense when our body's designed to work as a unit. And so if part of it is hurting or part of it's has mindset issues that are troubled from childhood or trauma, or we have these thoughts or emotions continually thinking about ourselves, like all of that, when it's not in the right symbiosis state together, it can very easily trigger something like this. And so it just makes sense. I was listening to a very well-known book called Emotional Intelligence by Dr. Daniel Goleman, I believe his name is. I was listening to that today, and he was talking about depression, this, what the studies say about exercise specifically. Like, yes, we all know exercise helps, but the reason why it helps is because it's breaking the brain from its state of being in this more lowered, maybe is a good word, like lowered intensity. It's more of a slower focus to, like, it's increasing the intensity through exercise. So that's why maybe sitting and doing an equally low kind of exercise, quote unquote, like watching TV wouldn't have the same result outside, of course, not even thinking about the endorphins and stuff, but just that it's because it's a different switch for the brain. It literally
it is
putting it out in a different way. So it's just interesting how the science confirms that too. So when you went through this season of depression, what was that like spiritually for you? Because often that can really derail us or cause us to ask all kinds of questions. So what was that like for you?
Yeah. I mean, and the reality is that I still battle depression. I've just learned how to deal with it in different ways. And to be honest with you, in the last like month and a half, I have used some of the tools that I have been taught to not let myself spiral out of control in the way that maybe I didn't have those in my toolbox previously. Yeah. But spiritually speaking, I think like what I told you when I would go on walks or I would get myself kind of calmed down, it was just like, okay, Lord, you know, I'm praying. At this point, I am seeking help.
Yeah.
I'm telling not a lot of people, but I'm telling some people so that they can be praying, like, you know, people that were trustworthy, like, this is not a gossip situation. This is like, we're really going to go before the Lord.
Please pray. Don't for you. Just talk about me.
That's right. That's right. Whew, amen to that. That's a whole different episode, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh
my gosh.
So, and, but spiritually, I still felt that the Lord was near. It wasn't a time, I mean, cause I have been through, you know, that dark night of the soul and seasons where I have wondered, okay, Lord, you've promised that you'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. But whew, if I were basing things on my feelings right now, I would say that you had left me. Praise God. Our feelings have to be theologically informed as well. And so I still felt near to the Lord. Like I knew his presence was there. And I think that is almost what allowed me to finally say, okay, I am going to go see someone because I'm not in a place where I'm not spending time with the Lord. I'm not in a place where I'm not praying. I'm not in a place where I feel unhealthy in any other ways except for this. So yeah, I mean, that's a little bit of a different perspective, I think, than some people would share. But that was helpful for me to be like, no, I mean, I'm spending time with the Lord and I know he's here.
Yeah. And just that confidence of, I know that I'm doing what God would want me to do. I know who I am in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's keeping me, maybe giving me the courage to say,
yeah,
I'm going to do this. I'm going to reach out. I'm not going to worry if you know, about all these other things because I know that I'm secure. My worth is secure. All of those things. I'm loved. And so that closeness to God can ground us and give us the courage to do what needs to be done sometimes. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, especially when the people that had walked through this really difficult time, you know, they were believers too. They were in our small group. And I think that that's the important part about sharing a story. Particularly if you're someone that you've walked through it and you have someone else in your life who you see some signs, and being open and vulnerable about what's gone on in our lives may just be the tool that God uses in their life to help them take the next step.
Right.
Whether that is medication, counseling, just beginning some new practices that, you know, what you talk about a lot is renewing the mind. Like those things are important, but they have to become habits. Mm-hmm. If they don't become habits, they don't change your mind.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Do you find it hard to let go of worry? Do you struggle with feeling like you're never enough? Or maybe you're frustrated because you can't make the changes you want in your life, losing the weight, starting new habits, or growing in a certain area. Both brain science and scripture show that every action we take starts first with a thought. If we change our thoughts, we can change our results. So, what are the most effective ways to change our thoughts? According to the latest neuroscience research and timeless biblical wisdom, well, I want to give you the inside scoop at this free workshop. Sign up now at vibrantchristianliving.com/mind. You'll discover why it makes sense you're stuck in toxic thought patterns. You'll debunk three popular myths about overcoming negative thoughts. So many women are stuck in these. And you'll learn a simple three-step strategy to manage negative thoughts in the moment. I mean, this powerful tool alone is worth coming to the workshop. Plus, you'll get an inside look at the Christian Mindset Makeover, the only course that equips Christian women with powerful brain science and biblically based tools to break free from negative thoughts in only 9 weeks. Go now to vibrantchristianliving.com/mind to sign up for this amazing free workshop to learn how to transform your thoughts to transform your life. That's vibrantchristianliving.com/mind. I'll see you there.
So how did all of this process, because now you've said you this is a lifestyle for you, learning how to manage this. How has that kept you dependent on God, maybe helped you grow closer to God, this as a lifestyle process?
Well, something, the first thing that I would say is that before I went through this, what I would call when I really realized like, okay, this is depression, you got to do something about it. I was just a chronic grumbler, still a struggle of mine. And part of that is just kind of, it can be personality. It can also be the environment you grew up in. Yeah. Mine was a mix of both. I can't blame that all on my family. But my husband would, he is not that way. And he would stop me at times and say, I want you to tell me 5 things that you're thankful for. Hmm. And it would just irritate just irritated me to death. But it does change the way you feel, your perspective, and it talk about something that will change your mindset. Begin to practice gratitude for the smallest to the biggest things. And so I would tell him, 5 things, and I would start seeing my mindset shift. So then after that, I began to do like a gratitude journal where I really would write 10 things every single day. I mean, I did that for over a few years, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And that was so helpful. And we're talking everything from toothpaste in the morning to like huge answered prayers, because we miss those things at times.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the big tools that I learned even prior to walking through depression early on that I still practice on a daily, weekly, monthly basis and with my family, because God has asked us to give thanks to the Lord for he is good. And we don't naturally gravitate towards that. Yeah. We just don't. We naturally gravitate towards grumbling and, bitterness and all those things. So that's one tool that I feel like even now that I continue to use. Another thing when it comes to my walk with the Lord is habits that are in place no matter what. I mean, I have a habit of meeting with the Lord in the morning, and sometimes I do that because I'm excited, and sometimes I do that because it purely is a habit. And that's just me being honest.
Sure.
But habits don't have to be something that are bad. We need to have spiritual disciplines in our lives, because they don't, you don't just wake up one day and decide you're going to spend time with Jesus unless you dedicate some time to Jesus, right? And so even with depression now, when I know my body well enough now, I know when I'm starting to kind of spiral out of control or get that overwhelmed feeling, the first thing that I will do is just tell my husband, like, I'm really starting to feel like some things are out of whack. It's not good. And he begins praying. So that's one thing. That's awesome. I tell a few more trusted people immediately in my life, again, that I know are going to pray for me. I start spending some more time out in nature, because again, you want to identify in your world, what is it that feeds your soul? What is it that brings you rest? Do those things. And so it's drawn me closer to the Lord, because honestly, when I'm in a really healthy place, those are the things that help me feel close to the Lord. So it's not really any different in depression, but the more you practice, then the more you're going to see like, okay, this leads me towards health and this does not. And you just have to start making those decisions. But I understand with depression, you're not even thinking clearly enough when you're in a really severe place to be able to even do those things. So that's why you got to get to where like, okay, I need to notice when it's starting to get really, really bad.
Right.
And not to tell somebody. Idea of,
like that the habits thing I think is so important. Because it's like we think, well, we get a sickness, say, and then we think, well, I'm just gonna work really hard to get rid of the sickness. Well, okay, sure. Yes. But if we get that sickness again, maybe we need to think, well, what can we do as a habit to prevent this from continuing to happen? There's something there. Like we're going to live with depressive episodes, or things are going to make us mad or frustrated. I am a huge proponent, it sounds like you are too, of just these baseline things in our life that we have to make them a priority. Time with God every day, spending time understanding what we're thinking, being physically active in some way, all of those parts of self. And this is our worship back to God. This is our spiritual way to sanctify ourselves, to say, we are called to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We can love him by doing those things, by taking care of ourselves, because when we are, then we have a clear mind to be able to serve him and to let his light shine through us. And we can work against those negative thoughts, like you said, those Eeyore kind of moments that come up. And we can really, when it's because it's not a matter of avoiding the pain that's going to happen in life. It's going to happen. Things are going
to hurt.
Like terrible things are going to happen to us. Tragedies, people are going to upset us, all those things. So it's how can we set ourselves up to be as healthy as possible for if and when they come? We know God will be with us in it, but it's so much easier to, instead of going up and down and all these places, to just keep that as a priority. So I really appreciate that you said that you shared that these are habits and that sometimes a habit is really exciting to do and sometimes it's not. It's just you make it work. You somehow bring it in and it doesn't have to, it can look different in different seasons, right? Like
that's
time
right.
with God
that's
or
right.
whatever, but it's still something that's part of that rhythm.
Well, and something that I always like, I mean, like I try to remind myself and other people now is we all have habits.
Yes.
Because I think sometimes people are like, I mean, I don't even know how to develop a habit. And I'm like, but you already have them.
Right.
You do. We all have habits.
You have something. Yeah. Yeah.
You have so many habits, you don't even realize it's a habit. You know what I mean? Like that late night bowl of cereal, that's a habit.
Right.
But so is just eating three healthy meals a day.
Yes.
So it is possible to adopt new healthy habits, but it requires a lot of intention and time. Mm-hmm. And that has helped me, like even just recently, something that now really has helped me with mindset, with, you know, like I'll notice the Eeyore moments and that helps me to not get into a really severe depressive place.
Yes.
But like, I wouldn't even consider that being depression, right? That is really just me fighting mindset issues.
Sure.
And that is paying more. So there's two things. One is I never really knew what breath prayers were, but in the last like 3 years, breath prayers are something I use very often. And it is just a scripture, a prayer where you're breathing in and it may be, let's say the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Mm-hmm. It's breathing in. The Lord is my shepherd. And it's breathing out. I shall not want over and over again until you just get your mind focused on the truth and less focused on what's not true.
Right.
And so that's the other thing too. Like John Mark Comer, I was listening to him recently on a podcast and his new book is all about, you know, really replacing the lies with a scriptural truth. Mm. So not just random lies that we all hear, but what are the things you're speaking over yourself?
Right.
You know, for me, it can be, I'm a horrible mother. I mean, true or not, I just can spin out of control on that over something silly. Well, you know, then what is a scriptural truth? It's like, you know, God does take parents who have young under his wing. Mm. He is the shelter. He is the shelter. He is almighty. And so he shelters me under the eagle's wing and I can find rest in that. Mm. So those two things are just incredibly helpful.
Mm. Yeah, no, I love that you shared that what you're focusing on, being able to catch it in the very beginning is so important because that is a skill that, again, when I talk about that in coaching or in the Christian Mindset Makeover, people are like, oh, wow, who knew? This is what I was thinking about. I just, you know, I'm on autopilot and it becomes the same thing. I was just reading a statistic that we repeat, we have 95% of the same thoughts each day.
Yeah.
80% of our thoughts are negative and 95% of them are the same as yesterday. So that's interesting.
So true.
It is, but well, with negativity, negative thoughts aren't always bad because, and that's an important thing to talk about with depression too, because our brain is wired to keep us safe. And so
that's right.
It's a negativity bias, meaning that we're wired not only to keep us safe, but to look for danger. So if we see something in front of us that's bad, it's good that we notice, well, this could happen or that could happen, but it's a matter of when does that spiral out of control and turn into fear and anxiety or needing it to be perfect. So we're trying to control it. Like that's the problem. That's the point where it starts to be like, all right, we have to pay attention to that. And then the more we sit in the negativity, it can develop into these things like depression too. But I just wanted to touch base on something else you said too about when we hear the negative thought and the fact that it's not necessarily that we want to just tell it to go away, tell it to stop and just, that's bad, that's wrong. God wants us to believe this, that we need to, I've found it's very helpful to like just make ourselves aware of that negative thought, but to have compassion for why it's there, to understand why it's reasonable, why you might feel anxiety as a mom, or you might feel like I'm not a good enough mother, or what could be causing that, versus just going, mm-hmm. of course you're a good mom. Just stop. You know, right.
because sometimes you really might not be being a very kind, good mom.
Right.
That doesn't mean you're a terrible mom forever.
Right. Or maybe you had this deep fear because maybe your mom wasn't a great mom. And so you have had this deep fear your whole life. Like, I'm just going to screw my kids up. Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of stuff where it's like, why am I thinking this versus just going, stop thinking that, you know, and God sits in that. Yeah. So how is that process for you in terms of weighing the thoughts and letting them process the negative thoughts and that?
Yeah. I mean, it's still something that I am working very, very heavily on and have been, I think, for really like 10 years. Mm. So I just say that because I don't want anyone to think that, you know, I just figured all this out. But I will say that I remember years and years ago, continuously reading the verse, you know, renew your mind, and thinking, what the heck does that even mean? Renew your mind. Like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Yet knowing that this was vital, you know what I mean? So you're, but then thinking about when I first started, quote unquote, thinking about that.
Yeah.
To where I am now, I realized like, okay, Lord, you've been doing the good work that you promised in me from then until now. And praise God, he's not done with that, right? Yes. Like until the day of Christ Jesus. And so the process for me looks a lot like, I've identified a lot of what you said, like lies that I've been speaking over myself for probably as long as, I mean, you start speaking lies over yourself.
Right.
And so some of those, when they creep in, I can identify them really quickly and just be like, okay, speak the truth over yourself.
Yeah.
And this is not a cheesy, like, oh, I'm awesome. I'm not talking about speaking mantras over yourself.
Right.
I'm talking about speaking the word of God over myself. And so those are really easy to spot. The other ones, you know, little subtle things. Praise the Lord, too. I have done things like Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Pete and Jerry Scazzaro, some other mindset type coaching things like what you lead here in our community in Raleigh. And those things are vital because it's just like anything else. We all do better when we're in community with people and we're working towards a focused goal, a focused outcome. I mean, that's why we go to school. Like, we go to school so that we can focus on something and get an outcome. So those have helped me identify some little subtleties of like, you just believe this about yourself. And I can tell when you're walking in, I'm trying to think of an example. If it comes to mind, I'll bring it up. But I have some friends in my life who, like, I can kind of tell that you're just walking in this, woe is me. What's going on? But had those people not walked through some of these mindset type coaching situations, classes we've done at church, they would never be able to identify that in me. Cause sometimes you don't even see it in yourself.
No.
And so I feel like I'm just rambling on and on, but the biggest thing is once you identify the lie, speaking it out loud. And like you said, please don't say, just stop it. Because the last time I checked, when we chant, just stop it, it actually makes you think about it more.
Right. Yes.
Like, I mean, if you look at your children and you say, do not touch the Skittle, what's the thing they want to do? They want to touch the Skittle. Like, it doesn't work. It doesn't work in our minds either. Just stop it. It's like, just stop comparing yourself. That does not work.
No.
You got to have tools. Yes. And so, once you really identify that, I mean, seriously, like sitting down and finding a scripture that combats that and then committing that to memory or writing it down somewhere or journaling about it, asking someone else if they hear me say these things or anything that hints to it, like basically look at me and say, you're not allowed to say that about yourself, or that's not true.
Right.
But all of those things are a journey.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to arrive right now, but you do have to start, or you're never going to break habits. Exactly. And you don't even realize that you're just in this constant negative mindset. Like right. My husband will say, "Hello, you haven't said anything positive for like the last 2 hours." Snap out of it, you know? And then I'm like, "You're right."
Yeah.
But some of us need somebody like that, right? Yeah. Because we don't know how to do it differently unless we have some help.
Yeah. So. No, it's awesome. I love that we have those people around us, because yes, we sometimes don't even realize that we're so far down in it, especially like you said, if we don't have or haven't practiced those habits begun really is the key word, to practice the habit of noticing, yeah. of seeing what's there. That I love that you said we don't have to have it all worked out and figured out, mm-hmm. and we won't ever do that, mm-hmm. ever. So you guys listening,
that's
you
right.
know that we talk about that all the time, but please hear it again, that
progress,
we're all on this journey on this, that it is a battle. And in fact, you look at the verbs that are used in these verses on the mind, they're all active verbs. It's not renew That's right. your mind and stop renewing it. It's no, you need to keep renewing your mind. 2 Corinthians 10 talks about the battle, right? This is an ongoing thing. So in that ongoing process, you have mentioned it a couple of times in our conversation, you decided to begin taking some medication for this, so an antidepressant. Mm-hmm. So what has that journey been like? Because there's all kinds of stigma, especially yeah. if you're a Christian, about that. So what's been your take and your journey on all of that?
Yeah. When I first went to a psychiatrist, actually, I was like, no way, I'm not going to a psychiatrist. Send me to a regular doctor.
Mm.
And so, you know, a lot of times it's because there is stigma. But something that I've said before is I think I put more pressure on myself than anybody else did.
Oh, right.
I can't yeah. blame it on the people I had heard speak negatively about medication and depression. I'm sure that got embedded in my mind by things I've read and just assumed.
Yeah.
But I know that depending on how your personality is, like, I mean, I'm my own worst critic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if people are into the Enneagram at all. Some people yes. aren't, but I mean, I know you are, but yeah. I mean, I'm a one. So like I have an inner critic. And so yes, she's
as a one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they're always just, it sounds like you have like people speaking in your head. It's not that. If you're not a one, you don't understand. Like there's always somebody preaching at you in your head that you are not good enough.
Wow.
And so I still went, because when you get to a place of brokenness, and then when you also are at a place for me in my walk with the Lord, where again, I was like, you can't pray. I can't pray this out.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the idea Christians want to have sometimes. You're not praying enough. You're not having enough mm-hmm. faith. You're not doing this. And I finally just had to let that go mm-hmm. because all that was doing was affecting my view of Lord Jesus. And thinking like, you're letting me down. But I knew that was a lie too. Like I knew these things were lies. Yeah. So I went, and it was more like a counseling session, but she was fantastic when she talked about things like serotonin and how once you lose some of these chemicals, they just don't return. Some things you can get more of, you know, you can exercise and get the endorphins, but then some of them, once you lose it, it's not like you just get it back.
Right.
And that being a physical therapist, the science of that made sense to me. Mm-hmm. And that's when I said, okay, I'm going to give this a go. And so we just started on the lowest amount needed and kind of monitored that. And for a long time, I didn't want to tell anybody. And then it's just like anything else. You walk a road long enough and you really pay attention and you say, you know what? People need to know that I 100% love Jesus.
Yes.
And yeah, I do take medication. And no, you can't tell me that I'm less of a Christian or have less faith than you because I take medication, because only one who knows my heart is God, not you.
Yeah. Right.
And that's what I would say to other people, you know, like, I tried to stop taking it a couple of times. It didn't work. So then I had to accept, like, this will be something I will take for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. Well, that is true for a lot of people with medication.
Yeah.
Do I want to be dependent upon it? No. So I do other things.
Right.
To try to keep myself healthy. But I have finally accepted
yeah.
that I will take at least this dose forever and maybe more and maybe not.
Right. Well, as I shared in the introduction with you guys, that I have been on a low level antidepressant for probably 20 years now. And it was started after a very major depressive episode. Mm-hmm. I was suicidal during that period. And from that point on, I have not been able to not take it as well. And I struggled with a lot of what you were talking about, Amber. And so I thank you that you're willing to share about that, because I think there's a lot of stigma around that, about why can't I just, like you said, pray myself out of this? Why can't I just think differently? And here I am, somebody who teaches people how to rewire thoughts. You think that I have, you know, if I want to be able to find a way to not have to do this, but when you look at the medical side of it, like you explained about how we can lose things like serotonin that are no longer being produced in the same levels as before, then it begins to go, we begin to say, okay, this is truly a medical issue. In the same way I have thyroid issues and I take a levothyroxine every morning because that's to balance my thyroid. When we begin to look at it from that standpoint, it becomes less scary. Now, there are people who take medicine and don't ever deal with the thoughts behind it and don't work out. And that's not what we're saying, Amber, right? We're saying like, this is part of a lifestyle switch that we've had to make in order to monitor and live well with balance, like we talked about with depression. But yeah, I have had to go on this wrestling match with God too. And he's brought me to this place, you know, at least we can only speak for the moment, but I feel peace about it, where it's like, I'm not afraid to share about it. And I'm also grateful that he allows us to live in a culture where we can get this, because it truly is something that has just changed in my body and it needs to be there. So
that's right.
So yeah, I'm thankful that you're willing to share about that. And to do it right, like we said, from a healthy perspective, not just a, we'll take a pill and you'll get over it. So,
Well, and that is the thing. And that's a mindset thing too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think sometimes we do want to take a pill and we want it to be this quick fix.
Yeah.
And that cannot be the goal either, because it's just really not true for almost anything. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some really, really serious mental diagnoses out there where absolutely it's a quick fix, because we're talking like a severe, you don't take it and a whole different person is there.
Yes.
So I don't want to negate that. But even in that situation with medication, there are always things that we need to be doing or can be doing to be a healthier version of the person that we are.
Right.
That is because we live in a broken, sin-sick world. Mm-hmm. And if we're not creating good habits, we're certainly living bad habits.
Yes. Right. And so it's like, my husband is a type 1 diabetic. And so he takes insulin.
Yes.
He takes insulin every day and some other medications to help him with his diabetes. But he's had to come to a place. He was diagnosed about 6 or 7 years ago, so he didn't grow up with it, even though it's technically childhood diabetes, as it's known.
So interesting.
Yeah. He's was fully healthy. I mean, wasn't like super overweight or anything. So it just came out of the blue. Whole nother story. But I'm sharing that to say that he could just eat whatever he wants and dose more insulin for it to compensate for the sugar highs and the ups and downs. And he's had to learn to come to this place of like, I have a body that God has given me. Mm-hmm. And right now in this state of my body there, I have to have this medicine to help me, because my pancreas doesn't work. And so I'm going to support my pancreas in other ways. I'm not going to make it harder on myself by eating all kinds of sugar stuff and eating tons of carbs that throws me up and down and not working out and all these things. And so, it's been interesting as he's begun to adopt that over the last year and a half, truly, truly get really serious about taking care of himself in that way. Mm-hmm. Like, his medication levels have gone down. The doctor even told him recently, like, I don't even know if we would classify you technically based on your numbers as a diabetic anymore. You still need to be on your insulin and medicines and pumps and all that.
Right.
But just the fact that we have to address these issues, not just like, okay, give me my insulin and I'm good. Right. It's the same thing. Let's look at how we can support ourselves through all of it.
That's
so like you said, Amber and I, we make sure that we're working out every day. We're eating good foods. We're talking through the issues that come up. So
totally. And it's slow and steady. I mean, for anybody that's listening, I just shared on social media today when I saw somebody posting about a workout, I was like, I'm in this place right now. They were talking about something specific. I said, I'm in this place right now where, you know, I used to be able to push through the dread of working out and I am just struggling. I'm just like now talking myself out of doing it. And I just take the walk.
Yes.
Now, some people can be like, take the walk. Well, that's still moving your body. It is, but there's a certain, I know my body and I know I need to push it a little bit harder. Like, I just know that's not everybody's situation, but I know.
Yeah.
So I've just been saying this week, even something's going on with me. Something is not right because I'm not taking myself into that next level to keep myself in a healthy place. And so if you just pay attention, you start identifying some certain behaviors that aren't good, you know, for your own body, and you pay attention to those. But that doesn't mean you wake up tomorrow and you just work out and you eat healthy and you never make a mistake again.
Exactly.
Like, so don't hear that.
Right.
Because I'm on the struggle bus right now.
No, we have to be realistic. And even if, like, you know, like you said, I have those days too, where it's like, I don't know if I even want to do this. I don't feel like doing this. It's such a push. Mm-hmm. To eat like this, or to walk, or to exercise. And sometimes I just listen to that in me. Like you said, what is that there? What is that about? And so it's being human. Like, we're not talking about becoming a robot in order to feel better. Like, it's just noticing what that's about. So, just to kind of wrap up the conversation, what else do you feel like really bothers you about how maybe the church or culture typifies depression and this whole concept of living with this, that you feel like, I just want to share this to kind of debunk this, or to say, I want to say this about it.
Well, I said earlier about the whole, just increase your faith and pray thing. So that would be my top thing. But another, and this may not necessarily be church-wise, is church-wide as much as just culture-wise. Mm-hmm. Depression doesn't always look like you're sitting in the floor crying all the time, or you want to commit suicide, or you can't get out of bed.
Yeah.
Sometimes depression is fits of rage and anger. It does present itself differently. And so if you're one of these people who've ever been on the fence and you're just curious, please go and see someone, because it's a hard road. And I promise you there are tools out there that can just help sometimes get you to a place of at least where you feel like, okay, I'm managing this. And so I just don't want anyone to really think that it's like, oh, if you're depressed, you're laying in the bed all day long and you just cannot function.
For sure.
That's actually never been my story. Most people would have never, ever known that I was a depressed person unless you lived in the four walls of my home.
Wow.
So
That's a great point. It looks different on us. And I know, like, for me, I did have periods of that, what you're describing, but I also have walked through depression periods where no one would really ever know. Like you said, it just, it can come up in different ways. So that's great that we can be aware of that. So Amber, I know you talk about lots of different things on your podcast, Grace Enough, but if the ladies wanted to talk to you more and kind of share their story, maybe dialogue with you about this, where could they reach out to you and get more information?
Yeah, the best place, I love to hang out on Instagram. And so that's graceenoughpodcast_Amber, or please email me. I mean, I encourage people to do that all the time. And that's just graceenoughpodcast@gmail.com. And so, yes, if you're struggling, please, even if you just need a listening ear, I would love to hear from you.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you for being here. And again, I appreciate you and your honesty, your willingness to tackle tough subjects on your podcast, and just even here, just your willingness to be open. So thank you so much, my friend, for being here today.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. It's been fun.
Instead of answering one of your questions today in this episode, I decided to talk about something that would help you move forward if you are struggling with depression. I wanted to give you some next steps and some things that you can do to help yourself. So first, let's talk about some habits, some of the things that she mentioned in there, and some things that I do too as well, which is, number one, being grounded in the Word of God, letting ourselves make that a priority. And it, like she said, you know, it's an active choice. This isn't something that just sort of happens by osmosis. The things that are important to us, we have to decide and make them a priority. And we don't conquer that mountain overnight. It's a little at a time. And yet it is something that we are actively pursuing. So I would say spending time with God every day and really engaging in His Word, really reading it and letting it absorb into us
getting rid of any of the thoughts that are in us, just being, having that communication back and forth with God through prayer. And if you need help with that, I would love to offer you a resource on how to do that. You can go to vibrantchristianliving.com. And if you scroll down onto that main front page, you'll see a free Bible study that teaches you how to study the Bible in this way using the spiritual growth rhythm. So there's a free 3-day study through that, that you can get and learn how to really interact with God in this way, because I think that's the number one habit I would start with in order to manage depression. And then if you are hearing what we talked about today and feeling like, you know what, it is time for me to reach out to someone, I wanted to, first of all, say congratulations that you're willing to think about that. You know, that you are courageous enough to say, I can't let this keep going on anymore. I have to address this. And so that is something that sometimes people want to do, but they don't know where to go or where to get started. And so I wanted to give you a resource that I recommend to women who are in that place where they're like, I don't even know where to go. Like, how do I do this? There is a resource called Get Faithful Counseling. It is an online counseling service. They do video counseling or it's over the phone, but it's all virtual. So you can live anywhere in the world and you can access their group of counselors who are all Christians. They're all licensed counselors and they're trained to help you get to the root of what's going on and to help you walk through journeys like this. So I would highly recommend that you check them out. You can go to getfaithful.com/vibrant, V-I-B-R-A-N-T. So getfaithful.com/vibrant. And that is an affiliate link, which means that if you choose to go with Get Faithful Counseling and start to work with them, then I will get a small commission for doing that. Just wanted to be upfront with you about that. But the reason why I do recommend them is because I have people, I mean, we have a worldwide audience in this community and I have people who come to me and say, I need help. I don't know where to go. And I love that they are a trustworthy resource that I can send people to say, hey, you may live in Canada and, this person may live in Norway or this person lives in Georgia, all over. I can't give you a specific counselor in all those areas. Right. So this is a great place to start and to get the help, to get that first step of just figuring out what's going on, just letting somebody else help you on this journey. So again, getfaithful.com/vibrant. All right. This has been a kind of a tricky episode. Lots of stuff may have triggered you or maybe causing you to think a little further about this whole topic of depression. Maybe it's not you that you're thinking of. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's your husband or a child and you're figuring out like, what do I do here? Or maybe you're just curious, like, what are some things that I need to do beyond this? Or what are some different mindsets I can adopt? So if you have any kind of dialogue around this topic, I would love to communicate with you. And the best way to do that is on Instagram. So you can go to @vibrantchristianliving and then just click on any of the posts, shoot me a response on there. Just go ahead and respond to any of those, or you can always direct message me too on Instagram. And I would love to dialogue with you, even just to pray with you as you're going through this. So thanks again for doing that and reaching out. I'm here to encourage you and to support you as well. I will see you back here next week for next week's episode. Thanks so much, friend. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining me today. Please go to vibrantchristianliving.com/podcast, scroll down, and then click on this episode to get the full show notes and more info on the resources that we talked about. And if you love this episode, please leave us a 5-star rating and review in your favorite podcast player. I look forward to seeing you back here for next week's episode.